CKNW News Talk 980 and the Chorus Radio Network present Nightline BC. Now, here is your host, Michael Smith.
Welcome back to Nightline BC and welcome to Hour 2 of the program. My name is Michael Smith, columnist at the Province Newspaper. Coming up in Hour 2 of Nightline BC, we're going to talk about those proposed coal-burning power plants in the BC interior. We've talked a lot about these two proposals, one in Princeton, one in Tumbler Ridge, to build two coal-burning power plants. You know, I've been writing in the newspaper and saying on here and predicting for a while the government would essentially back off this thing because they were so controversial, or, as I wrote the other day, they would bring in some kind of cutting-edge environmental technology such as carbon capture, as it's known. This is where you burn coal and you capture, somehow suck out all the greenhouse gases and bury them underground. It's a pretty interesting technology that hasn't really been perfected anywhere else in the world. Sure enough, the government in the throne speech yesterday said any new coal plants in BC would have to be fitted with this carbon sequestration technology, as it's called. A lot of people thought, well, that kills the two coal plants. They won't go ahead now, but hold your horses. The government's saying these plants might go ahead. One of the plants might be turned into a wood waste plant. They're going to burn wood waste instead of coal. And the other plant might go ahead with that carbon capture technology, that according to the BC government. I guess we get Brad Hope. He's been one of the people that's been opposed to the Princeton plant. Brad Hope is a member of the board of the Okanagan-Similkameen Steering Committees, on the phone from Princeton tonight. Brad.
Hello, Michael.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So when you heard yesterday that the government was going to bring in a law that says any new coal power plants that are built in BC have to be built with this carbon capture technology, did you figure, well, that's it for the Princeton plant, it won't go ahead now?
That's exactly what we figured. Apparently, geologically, this is not the kind of place where you can do the carbon capture and put away the carbon, so we breathed a mighty sigh of relief.
Yeah, how does that carbon capture operate?
Well, what they're doing now in a variety of places is they're putting it in oil fields that have pretty well exhausted themselves. So there's lots of space under there, and when they put it in under pressure, it also forces up oil. So it's quite a good system. They're using it in Saskatchewan now.
Okay, so the idea is you capture the carbon gases, the carbon dioxide, the greenhouse gases, you pump them underground.
Exactly.
And they stay there.
Well, that's in theory they do, and I think they believe that will be the case, and of course they'll monitor them.
Okay, now the coal plant that had been planned for Princeton, you're saying that it wouldn't have been possible to use that technology there?
Well, that's what we're told. Geologically, it's not possible. And as a matter of fact, the company have already announced that they're very actively looking into burning wood waste 100%.
Right. Why were you and so many other residents in Princeton opposed to the coal plant?
Well, you know, this is old technology. This is basically burning coal and shoving the emissions out the stack and heating steam to generate power. And it's 14 kilometers, more or less, above Princeton, quite high up on the hill. Princeton lies in the valley. We know from air inversions that it comes right down the valley, there would have been mercury emissions, arsenic emissions, all those sorts of good things. And it's pretty terrifying to people in Princeton, especially with young children. So we were adamant against it. And interesting thing, Michael, as time went on, we found more and more people were not just concerned about the local issues, but concerned about the greenhouse gases and global issues. So for a lot of reasons, it was really, really wonderful to hear that they'd gone this other route.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any possibility they were going to go ahead with these plants, given the current political climate. And as a matter of fact, I can't believe that BC Hydro would have gone ahead with this last summer, that they actually signed the contracts of the private companies involved to build these two coal plants. I mean, talk about bad timing with the way that global warming and greenhouse gas emissions has just soared up the chart of issues of public concern to the very top. And here's these guys talking that they're going to build coal plants. Crazy.
Oh, it absolutely was crazy. And you know, the interesting thing is these kind of battles are being fought all over the planet. Certainly in Texas and other places, they want to get these cheap, dirty plants in and get them grandfathered. And so every time there's a victory like this, it helps the next group down the line as well.
Right. Okay, so now you mentioned that the private proponent that was going to build the coal plant in Princeton is now saying, hang on a sec, we might still build the plant, but instead of burning coal, we're going to burn wood waste.
That's exactly right.
Okay, tell me about that. What's that proposal about?
Well, because of climate change, of course, we have all this pine beetle bug kill wood. And, you know, people in Vancouver may not be familiar with that, but when you drive up in this area, in the Quesnel area, through Manning Park, you see all these trees, hundreds of thousands of acres of trees that are have turned red and are dying right on the spot. And it's because the pine beetle, of course, doesn't get the cold weather and isn't freezing out, so it's no longer controlled. And all the pine forests in BC are going. And, you know, that eventually amounts to hundreds of millions of, millions of cubic meters of wood that's going to be either logged or, if they can't get it in time, will rot. So there's this big move to try and get that out of the forest and burn it. Unfortunately, the problem is that it's very expensive. When you go out and harvest wood and truck it, you know, it's much more expensive than coal. So I don't know how they're going to reconcile that.
Right. Do you have any concerns? I mean, you know, the coal plant has apparently gone away, but do you have concerns about a wood-burning plant?
Well, you know, I wish there was another solution, but because of all this bug kill wood, they're going to have to do something with it. The forest fire hazard becomes immense, and so, you know, maybe that's the best solution if they can make it work. And I guess we're going to have to adapt to these things as climate change comes along, and maybe this is one of the ones we're going to have to adapt to. I just hope we can do it in the best possible manner if indeed that happens. But at this time, boy, the economics don't look all that great.
Yeah, it's interesting because this new technology we've talked about as well, carbon capture, speaking of expensive, that's expensive technology.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, a couple of power plants in the States that are not using, they're using the gasification method, which is the beginning of that process where they gasify it and they don't burn it, and then they can sequester the carbon. The ones that are doing that, they're not sequestering the carbon yet. In the U.S., but they're having really good results with gasification. So, you know, it may not be out of line at all.
It may be possible. Now, the government had planned another coal-burning plant for Tumbler Ridge, and a lot of the speculation was that that one was dead in the water as well. But the government is saying, no, they're talking to the private company involved. They may renegotiate the contract, and they may build a plant in Tumbler Ridge that has this carbon capture technology. They burn the coal, they capture the carbon dioxide gas, and they pump it underground to prevent it from going into the atmosphere. Could be a very expensive proposition. Could be a world first thing. Do you think something like that? I mean, obviously there have been people opposed to that plant as well, Brad. But do you think if the government goes in that direction, will that get public support?
Well, actually, I think it would. It's a pretty amazing system. And, you know, there's some people are still opposed to coal mining. And you know, we do have to be careful of all these things. But the process itself is a pretty interesting process. The United States government are doing a huge project called FutureGen, where they're going to do exactly that. And it will be, in fact, the first zero-emission gasification plant in the world. Saskatchewan are looking very seriously at it. And so, you know, it might be an excellent thing for an area like Tumbler Ridge.
Well, the interesting thing that the government was saying yesterday was we've got an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of this because coal is such a common source of fuel all around the world, and it's dug up everywhere and it's burned everywhere to generate electricity, probably nowhere more so than in China, which is just building hundreds of coal-burning plants. And if the world demand keeps building toward getting rid of greenhouse gases and doing something about climate change, clean coal or this carbon capture technology might be a major wave of the future. And the government is arguing, let's get on this now, let's build one in BC and show it can be done, and then we can market that technology, sell it around the world. I don't know about you, Brad, but I was listening to Barry Penner, the environment minister, talk about this dream of BC developing this technology and selling it. And I was getting flashbacks because I remember Glenn Clark, when he was the premier, saying exactly the same thing about developing a technology to build aluminum catamarans. And we would develop an industry with government money in B.C., and we'd all get rich off of it, and B.C. would become this incredible center for building aluminum fast-cat ferries. And, of course, we all know what happened with that. I mean, B.C., you know, taxpayers got... they got the mother of all baths on that one.
Well, you know, when you look at B.C. and you look at all the potential for... If we want to hit new and exciting kind of technologies, there's all sorts of wind, solar, tidal, wave power. I mean, we have so many different potential ways that I would much, much rather see us go, as well as conservation. But for the future, I think we could lead the world in if we want to do that kind of experiment, why not do it in tidal and wave and some of the things that we've got so much of here and that yeah. we're unique in so many ways on.
I agree that we should be exploiting as much clean energy as we can, but there, you know, the environmental movement is an interesting thing. Some elements of the environmental movement will fight even that stuff. They'll fight hydro projects because of flooding, because of impacts on fish. They will fight wind turbines because they will kill migrating birds. They will fight tidal power because it can kill shellfish. Even David Suzuki, who is out this week, and trashing this carbon capture technology for coal plants, saying it could be dangerous, and we don't know the environmental effects of it. So, I mean, there's always an environmental reason to stop just about anything.
Yeah, you know, I agree, and I think that the fact that there's 6 billion people on the planet, we're going to have to make some compromises. But, you
right.
know, I do think that there is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity in other things that are less controversial, and if we could go that route, I would certainly much rather do it.
Okay, my only concern, as I say again, is just I'm worried about taxpayers getting burned on it, because what I hear is the government talking about let's do this through the public purse, and I just hope the government is upfront and honest about how much taxpayers' money they're putting on the line here.
This is Nightline BC on the Chorus Radio Network. Once again, here's Michael Smith.
Welcome back to the show. My guest is Brad Hope from the Okanagan Similkameen. Brad, you know, it's interesting that this particular provincial government under Campbell can be a stubborn guy, but there have been cases where if there's enough grassroots resistance to something being shoved down their throat, that the government will, you know, fold their tent and fight their battles somewhere else. The most prominent example of that I can recall in the last few years was the government's insistence they were going to privatize the Coquihalla Highway. And the people in that part of the interior just rose up and fought it, and the government backed down. And it was a case where, you know, everybody was against it. It didn't matter whether you're left-wing, right-wing, business, union, whatever. You know, people didn't want that highway privatized. They didn't want the tolls being jacked up for 30 years on that highway, and the government backed down. In the case of this coal plant that had been planned for Princeton, what was your read of the mood there? Because the way it seemed to me in following the issue was there was no way the government could go ahead with it just because there was such fierce opposition to it.
Well, exactly. That's the way it turned out. But, you know, Michael, it was only 6 months ago that we looked at the whole thing, and it looked a little bit hopeless. We thought, you know, this is not, we're not going to be able to stop this. And then it seemed like the universe kind of aligned with us. We had the intergovernmental report with 2,500 scientists coming out and saying this is happening. We in Princeton, we got our act together and basically got everybody up and down the Similkameen Valley. There were very few opposed to it, or in favor of it, rather. And then we got help from all over the province, teachers, from all the doctors up and down the valley, and just a tremendous amount of support came in. And it's been a great lesson because we've really seen, as you say, what can happen when everybody gets together. And, you know, the thing that's kind of exciting for us is the Campbell government's come out with all these promises and all the things they want to do. And I think what we get is going to depend on how far we push this to make sure that we get everything that is clean and green and make sure they hold up on their promises. And
right.
What it takes is the public behind it all.
Yeah, it is amazing how people will come together when there is a real issue that a lot of people will get behind. And the government sometimes will move, but you had the feeling that even though you did have a lot of that grassroots support, I mean, you're a small community, you didn't think you'd be able to stop it.
Oh, we certainly didn't. We thought it was touch and go as little as 6 months ago, and a year ago when they were first really coming out with it, it was a done deal. In fact, the company basically said, in a response to something the mayor wrote in the paper, came out and said, well, we really don't care what the mayor thinks. So the company obviously thought that they could go ahead with it, too. So it's been a great experience for us.
Okay, well, I guess in some ways, you know, global warming and climate change just became that hot political issue just over the last six months. It was really, really ramped up. And for that reason, I think a lot of what you're seeing, obviously, is the government responding to the political climate. Never mind the people in Princeton who were mad, but a lot of people who were concerned. And in that climate, so to speak, they couldn't go ahead with the coal plant.
Oh, exactly. And now our concern is that we don't sit back and say, well, boy, we've done that and we can now just relax. I mean, I think climate change is real, as the Campbell government pointed out, and we've got to make sure that we do everything right. And, you know, the more I read and the more I look at it, the less I think it has to be an economic disaster. I think it's going to create lots of opportunities.
Yeah, that's a lot of, you know, one of the themes the government was hitting on yesterday. Where do you think the opportunities lie?
Well, I think, there are tons of different technologies. As I say, you know, we really need to make huge advancements in solar power. And if we wanted to start mass producing solar cells and getting that sort of thing out, there's energy there. There's energy in wind, tide, so many things, waves. And they're doing it. They're experimenting with this all over the world. I really think there's just a vast number of possibilities that we can get behind if we want to do it. And, you know, we've got a pretty good engineering school in UBC and universities and technical people all over this province. To me, it's real exciting.
Well, on issues like solar power, and I agree with you, I think what I'd like to see from the government on issues like that are some sort of incentives for people to, for example, retrofit their home and install solar panels on the roof, for example. We had a terrific guest on the show some months ago now. We talked about, you know, a private company that will install solar panels on your roof to heat your hot water. You don't have to pay an electricity bill or a natural gas bill to get hot water anymore. You could get it for free from a few small panes of solar power panels on your roof. The problem was, it's going to cost something like $5,000 or more to do it, and you wouldn't realize all the savings until it was kind of amortized over a 15-year period. And that doesn't make it very attractive for a lot of people. What the government needs to do is put some incentives in there for people to do it.
Well, exactly. And once they get into mass production of all this stuff, of course, they're going to come down in price as well and make it even more attractive. But, you know, as you say, I would much rather see them do that than let's take a chance on a few billion in a coal gasification plant that may or may not work.
Thanks for coming on tonight, Brad.
Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate it. Okay, Brad Hope, he's a member of the board of the Okanagan Similkameen Steering Committee. Very happy people there in Princeton because they fought that coal plant and looks like they won. They're lucky that this climate change issue got so hot, or else maybe the government would not have backed down on that coal plant.